You are about to participate in the most ambitious culinary experiment ever imagined.
This competition is going to test everything.
Adapt quickly to anything. I mean anything. The wildest day of your life starts right now.
All new 24 and 24 Last Chef Standing. Sunday night at 8 on Food Network. Stream on Max.
Hi, this is Ernie Hudson, and you're listening to Canned Air Podcast.
Something strange in your neighbor.
Hello, everyone, and welcome to another episode of Canned Air, your tribute to comics and pop culture. I am Jeremy Colley.
I'm Jack Doherty.
And I'm Randy Hardenbrook.
And joining us today, returning to the show, his eighth appearance on this show. Eighth. I don't know if we've had any other person on it that many times.
I feel like we need to give him a plaque or something.
Sub number two, I think.
Yeah, he's had a
he
few free subs.
Upgrades it.
What's up, guys?
Of staunch ambition in Inferno City Firehouse, we welcome comic creator Brian E. Lau back to the show. Brian, thank you for being here, man.
Oh, man, I'm happy to be back on. The eighth time. I shaved my legs. I did a nice bikini wax for this show.
Gross.
Well, that's more than we did, man. Sorry.
Yeah, I thought it would be nice, better, but it actually didn't turn out so good. Hey, I'm happy to be on. It's been a while, but eight times. That's awesome. I love the show. Love you guys. Love this show. Can't wait to see you again.
Yeah, man, that's going to be fun to hang out again. But no, thank you for the kind words, and we love your work, man. I can't wait to talk about what you have going on. You've got a Kickstarter happening at the moment. But before we do that, we're going to be doing, I guess this originally was Brian's idea, maybe three appearances ago, where we started the Of All Time episode.
Oh, yeah. Three, wasn't it?
That was
three
a
of his appearances ago.
Not, oh, yeah.
Yeah, I mean, it was a long-ass time ago, but but we did, I can't remember, like, best, what, movie, twist endings, best fight scenes of all time, and I can't remember what the other one was. But we had some fun with those, so we thought we might return to the
best
premise.
Best and worst.
Sometimes best and worst.
Yeah, sometimes worse is fun.
Yeah, I thought in this might be too easy, though, if we went in the worst category, because when I started to think about the worst of these, the best hero movies of all time, and if you go to the worst, I mean, everyone's going to go to Batman and Robin, right?
Yeah, probably. I mean, there's been some bad ones lately.
I think Steel's worse than Batman and Robin.
Oh, I don't even know that one.
I don't either. I know what he's talking about. That was Shaq, right?
Yeah.
But, boy, they really went out on a limb, didn't they? But then, yeah, after that conversation, we're going to be turning our attention over to Brian to be talking about more about his Kickstarter. But before we do any of that, don't forget to find us on Twitter at CannedAirPod and on Instagram at Canned_Air. And Patreon.com/CannedAirPod is where you can give us a few bucks a month to get quality content in return. The Canned Air Patreon pod, all kinds of special projects on there, merchandise. Come on, people. It doesn't cost that much, and you're supporting the show that I hope you love if you're listening to it.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, right?
Absolutely.
You have to be vested at this point, unless this is your first episode.
Then still check out our Patreon.
And check out our Patreon page. But
maybe wait a couple episodes, then go.
What am I forgetting?
Your boys are now officially on the Evergreen Podcast Network. Really excited with everything that is happening and going to happen with that, and being part of that great network with some great shows. And not only that, if you're local to Ohio, or even if you're not, and don't have anything going on September 25th of this year, your boys are hosting the Torg Gaming Expo in Lewis Center, Ohio. Video games, comics, Mr. Brian E. Lau will be there. Toys, it's going to be a blast. So,
same place?
Yeah, same place.
Sweet.
Yep.
Cool.
So, yeah, we'll be getting more information out on that, and there's links on our Facebook page and all that fun, happy
stuff. That's August or September?
September 25th.
It's cool, but not too hot.
Yeah. when everything starts to die. Yeah, that's how I see it. All right, let's kick it off with this week's Retro Roundtable.
Good night, everybody.
All right, the best hero movies of all time. Jack, kick us off.
One, it's dated as hell. It is super cheesy, but it is still the greatest one of all time. One of the greatest ones, I think. And you might agree, Jeremy, because you had never seen it until one year, I think, Wrapped in Presents.
I know what you're talking about.
Yeah.
I actually thought about putting that on my list.
Flash!
I mean, I guess it depends on what kind of seriousness we give this of all time ranking. But yeah, there is a category where that would definitely. I mean, I can't say it's honestly my favorite, but I see where you're coming from because I was going to put it on my list. Mm-hmm. It's just so fucking satisfying.
Yeah. Yes, it is.
And I want to watch it again. I really do.
There's some hero movies that I can watch, and then it'll get to parts where I'm just like, and I can walk away. But I don't think I can with that movie. I gotta finish it.
Yeah. That's what I thought I was going to do with it when I sat down and watched it. I was like, all right, I'll get about 20 minutes into this and it'll just be some shit playing in the background. But no, nothing got done.
Yeah.
It was flash time.
Hell yeah.
But man.
Even the remastered version looks so good. I remember watching it one night and I'm just like, man, this looks so good. But I mean, like the technology and the costumes are so dated.
How he just kills, what's his name, Ming, mm-hmm. in the end is just so fucking ridiculous. It's just makes me laugh. And then there's those hawk dudes, too, that I was always flying along with them shit. Like,
yeah.
Then he had to, like, put his hand in that stump or something was, I can't remember what
supposed
was.
Supposed to bite him or something.
Yeah.
Like that. Yeah.
They just had so much fucking shit. Winged man, evil.
It was so cheesy looking too, but you see in the background more guys just hanging there, and their wings are just slowly flapping.
Evil okay, space sorcerers, all taken down by someone from the New York Jets, right?
So this is on your top of best of all time. Who's the actor who played Flash?
Oh, shit, I don't remember his name. Yeah. But he was
I don't think they allowed him to make any more movies after that.
I don't think he did. I think there's a documentary or something about that for him.
Well, he'd just get, like, severely typecast?
I don't know.
I mean, it's not like he gave a stellar performance. Yeah, <that's... laughs> like, Flash Gordon, quarterback, New York Jets.
He's a superhero that had no powers whatsoever.
It's like, why this guy? Like, there's got to be better specimens.
Throw a football.
Yeah.
There's got to be better specimens, though.
Sam Jones, that's his name.
Yes. Wow. Sam
Jones. Who was, like, nailing it in the fucking NFL at that time?
Oh, that would have been, what was the 49ers?
Joe Montana?
Joe Montana, maybe? Yeah. I don't know.
Throw Joe Montana's ass in there. Call him Flash Gordon.
Yeah, no, now that would have worked.
He was supposed to be just
look
as
at Space Jam. It worked
too.
With Michael Jordan. What
about Boomer Esiason? He was probably back there at that time too, huh?
Fuck it, just throw Terry Bradshaw in there.
Shit. Oh, what's his name for the Bears with the sunglasses?
Dick Butkus or whatever.
No.
Or who am I thinking of? Who's Dick Butkus?
Oh, yeah. Or no, the Dolphins. What about the guy in the Dolphins? What the heck am I?
Marino?
Dan Marino.
Hey, he was in Austin Powers.
Yeah, he was in Ace Ventura.
Yeah.
I think they picked an actor, you know, that wasn't just acting cheesy, but literally his acting was cheesy. So it
fit. Is it stupid of me to obsess? I mean, not obsess, but I mean, a thought that's always been in my head when I think of Dan Marino is the fact that he plays for the Dolphins and the word like Marine is like right in his last name there. Like,
oh, yeah. It was fate.
He's just a walking publicity for the team.
Yeah. Do you think that had
it's
anything
a conspiracy,
to do with it? Like,
man.
What's
oh,
that?
You're tapping into some like deep conspiracy.
Dan Marino's actually like an android made by SeaWorld or some shit.
Wasn't he in Pet Sematary too? Like that one, or not Pet? No, Pet Detective. Pet Sematary.
Yeah. Pet Detective. Yeah.
Yeah.
And then I remember something about Mary. Was it Brett Favre was in that? As
he
one of Mary's
boyfriends
for a few minutes, but he couldn't pronounce his. You need to be with Brett Favre. Yeah. That was funny. All right, that brings us around to who? Who just went?
I did, Jack.
All right, Brian, what you got?
Well, I don't know which one to pick. I got a... we're doing just one?
I'll go around a couple times.
Okay. Well, I'll just go with Iron Giant. I just have to say, man, the Iron Giant movie is all about being a hero. And that movie just punches me in the gut. You know,
yeah, it chokes you up
when he actually becomes the hero he wishes to be. And then at the end, you know, you're just like, you think it's going to actually end the way, I guess, spoil it. But and then, you know, you're sad and it kills you. But then I'm so happy when he comes back and it's just as emotional. Mm-hmm. It's not like a, you know, it's not like they undid it. It just like felt great to watch. And so I just love that movie all around.
It's a good film. I haven't seen it in years, but damn, it definitely pulls on the heartstrings. That's
I know
for
he
sure.
had the big S on his chest and he started flying. Mm. He got all excited and stuff because he saw the comic Superman comics.
Superman, yeah. That was like set in what, the like 50s or some shit? Or
40s or 50s, something like that, I think.
Yeah, like yeah. right when all the space stuff was like...
Like the Rocketeer big, Saint
yep.
time period kind of stuff.
It was like ancient 40s.
Yeah, and that helped tap into the like classic idea of a true hero. You know, nowadays we got this whole jaded kind of Dark Knight, which I obviously is great for story too, but it had that kind of like a golden age feel.
Wow, someone sounds like a seasoned comic book writer over there.
This guy knows what he's talking about.
Well, let me break it down. No, I'm just saying that, you know, I had that innocent age look, you know, or more idealistic.
I see what you're saying. I'm just busting your balls. It's been jaded. Too long, Brian. It's good
less
to see
jaded,
you.
Jaded, you know what I mean, Jeremy?
I know what you mean, man. I know. All right, that's back. Let's go over to Randy now.
Well, it's funny. You actually threw out one of my picks. So I'll just go ahead and go off of it. But The Rocketeer.
Oh, wow.
I didn't want to do like the typical like MCU stuff. So all my picks are just, I think, kind of like what Jack did, is not necessarily the more mainstream heroes, but still great flicks.
There was good movies before the Avengers sagas.
Absolutely. But
there
yeah.
were movies before the Avengers.
Yeah, I think so.
There were superheroes before the Avengers. But no, the Rocketeer. I just first of all, I'm a big Timothy Dalton fan, so just seeing him as the bad guy, I mean, he just classes the shit up.
Yeah.
But it was Iron Man before Iron Man. Just the way they built the rockets. Well, not built, but stole and kind of reworked everything. Mm-hmm. And I just like the whole superhero set in like the 20s and 30s motif. It was just really cool.
Yeah, I agree. It still is really cool.
I remember when that first came out. I mean, I was little and I was just like, this looks stupid.
Oh, I was
that
was
a Disney
shit.
Movie too.
The only
then
thing
watching
about
it, and after it, I was like, man, this movie was sweet.
Like, the thing that fucked with my head about it when I was a kid was like, how's he not burning his legs off?
Yeah.
Well, there's that.
Physics what? Or
was it
science.
The love interest Jennifer Connelly?
Yes.
Was she?
Yes.
Oh, really?
Yeah. Oh, yeah.
Can't
I think
remember.
There's a win there.
Absolutely.
Boy, it's
that's
been
why
a long
I
time.
Really watched it.
Yeah.
And between that and Labyrinth, whew.
Mm.
Oh, the girl from Labyrinth is Jennifer Connelly.
Yeah.
Okay. I'm one thing. I know things.
She's
know
also things. In one of the Incredible Hulk movies, but we just don't mention that.
Yeah. The first one she was in.
All right. I've got one that I think is pretty damn, it's a good pick, I think.
Okay.
Taken.
Okay.
Liam Neeson from Taken. No?
Yeah.
No.
Sure. I guess that's a hero.
That's a fucking hero. He saved his daughter from sex trade.
Yeah.
With just a few small set of skills that only he knows. I mean, come on.
I could dig where you're going with that as far as the content and that. Kind of like that, what's that movie Breakdown with... where he's got to save his wife from this cult or something?
I think I have that movie Kirk, and I've never opened it.
I don't even know what that movie is. Who's in it?
Who's the guy who played... Star-Lord's father. The heck?
Kurt Russell.
Yeah, Kurt Russell. He was in it. And it's got that, you know, Taken's got that badass, manly, like, family man. He's got to go get his daughter and stuff. And I totally resonate with that. It was awesome.
It was such a good, action film. Like it, I don't know, action films kind of prime you to expect certain things. You know what I mean? Kind of right. Like a shitty horror film does. Like, you know when jump scares are coming.
But sure.
That one just kind of, I don't know, it was just so good. Like everything they did. Everything he did.
The second a lot of it is just this calmness when he sits there and tells him on the phone that what he's going to come do. Because yeah. He has a certain set of skills.
There was that one scene when he walks in on the like the group of the guys who grabbed the girls. Mm-hmm. And he's like, and he's playing a part. He's playing a role of somebody. And he said, hey, you know, I'm having trouble translating this. Can anyone translate this for me? And he gives it to the guy he suspects he talked to on the phone. Mm-hmm. And when he says, good luck, he dude just breaks character. I talked to you a few days ago. I told you I'd find your ass. And then there's like, boom. Like, man.
It's kind of funny because did you guys ever watch Darkman way before?
No.
Oh, yeah.
But it's yeah. funny because you see a lot of like the common traits like from his acting, like he pulls through in both of those.
That was a movie I hated when I first watched it, too. But then I watched
yeah,
it.
Yeah, me too.
Know, how many times after that? Because it was... I don't know what it was, something about that movie. It was ended up being good, but I couldn't stand it the first time.
It's kind of different, yeah. My brother was really into it, so maybe I didn't like it that. That was Sam Raimi, right?
I think so, yeah.
Yeah, I think it was, actually.
Yeah, and it was definitely unusual and way ahead of its time, that's for sure.
Yeah, and then I think there was a few sequels. Sorry, I totally hijacked that. But
no, you're good. I mean, that's my point. That movie is fucking amazing. That's all I have to bring to the table. I thought everyone would be like, oh, bravo, great choice. Not quite.
Great choice, Jeremy. Great choice.
Don't patronize my ass, Randy.
It was a nice attempt.
Become a patron.
All right. Let's jump back over to Jack.
So I was thinking more of straight superheroes type thing, but since we went off the rails with Liam, I'm going to have to say John Wick.
Okay.
Never seen him.
Oh, you got to see that movie.
Everyone says I have to.
Yeah.
Is he really a hero, though?
What's that?
Is he really a hero?
Yeah, he's more of like a
vigilante. He's
right?
Like a vigilante. I guess he's a vigilante hero, kinda. I guess.
I mean, he goes against... I mean, he's a hitman, pretty much, working for this big hitman company, which was kind of weird how everything worked at being a company. But then
I just got hired at the hitman company.
He takes over, like, destroys the corruption part of it. I mean, plus he gets... I mean, he's... whatchamacallit, when make it look like it was something his fault.
Like blackmail?
Frame. Yeah. And they killed his puppy. The worst
part.
Oh,
yeah. Which one did you like the best out of the... there's three, right?
Two was okay. Probably the first one still. Three was really good, though.
Heard a lot... I saw the first one, and I was hearing a lot of good stuff about the third one. I almost watched it, but I hadn't gotten around to it.
It was good. People just wouldn't die in that one, though, that seemed like.
Really?
Yeah, it just kept... Just put them in another sword through them, give them another gunshot, and they're back again. I'm like, come on already. This is supposed to be based in realness. But it's Keanu, and his fighting, and just one shot, or double tapping everybody. Oh, so good.
We were just talking before we started about Westworld. I just binged the first season of that, and that's just... Nobody seems to really miss a gunshot in there, but that show's gotten to the point that's like, no matter which way the camera pans, it's just fucking bodies everywhere. It's like, jeez. It's kind of getting old. It's like, all right, I get it. Motherfuckers are dead. All right, let's jump back over to Brian. What you got?
Well, I guess I'm going to stick in the same vein as between you two and go with Braveheart.
Oh.
I'll just have to say, man, you talk about somebody who's bringing some vengeance, but righteous vengeance. I would say, what was his name? William Wallace.
Yeah.
Excellent movie, man. I think it was one of the first movies I had purchased a surround sound system was when they were coming out. And I think it was the first movie I seen on the surround sound. So it's just had everything going for it. But one of my favorite movies, acting, plot, and just a badass character.
Oh, yeah.
That was probably one of the first big wartime, like old-timey war movies that there was actually really, like, bad killing.
Oh, war. Yeah, some intense. Yeah. Like a real war.
Yeah, yeah.
That's actually a good killing.
What year was that?
That was like early 90s, wasn't it?
Something like that, yeah.
Did you ever see Glory?
The Civil War film? Oh, yeah, with Matthew Broderick.
Mm-hmm. Morgan Freeman. Damn, that was...
Yeah, that was raw.
Denzel was in that too, wasn't he?
Yes. Was Morgan Freeman not in that?
No, I think you're right. I think he was.
Okay. Yeah, I think they were. It was the first black regiment in the Civil War, right?
Yeah, and Ferris Bueller was in that too, right?
Yeah.
Yeah,
yeah, he was the general or whatever.
But speaking of Braveheart, did you guys know that they made kind of a pseudo-sequel to that? Following Robert the Bruce? Like the same character that played Robert the Bruce in Braveheart.
Hmm.
Yeah, they just released that not too long ago. I think it's on streaming.
Wonder if is it any good?
It looked pretty good by the trailer I saw. I mean, it's same character, same like continuation of the story, like him rescuing Scotland or finishing what Braveheart started.
Mel Gibson, yeah, such a big world they did.
I don't know if he did.
Weirdo.
No.
I need to watch that movie again. It's been too long since I've seen that film. But let's jump over now to Randy.
So again, I'm going to play off Jeremy, and he mentioned Matthew Broderick. And one of my other favorite hero movies, more of a medieval type, but Lady Hawk with Matthew Broderick.
Man, that's so not even cool. Aware of what that is.
Oh, Rutger dude.
Power in it.
Yeah, Michelle Pfeiffer is in it.
Yeah, she was she wasn't the bird.
Yeah, she was the bird. She was Lady Hawk.
That was the 80s, right?
Yeah.
Hell yeah. That was a long time.
I vaguely remember it, but Matthew Broderick, he must have been a baby.
Oh, dude, he had to have been in his teens in that one, but...
I don't know, because he was 21 when he did Ferris Bueller.
This was way... Oh, really? This was before Ferris Bueller, I thought. Oh, maybe not.
It might have been. I thought so. He was one of those old, young-looking actors.
But Lady Hawk, for those of you, Jeremy included, that haven't seen it, it's basically like a... And the plot of the movie is he's an escaped convict, Matthew Broderick is, and he has to reunite this knight and this woman that loved him. They put a curse on him. She turns into a hawk during the day, and he turns into a wolf at night.
Oh, so that's right. I forgot about that.
They can never be together by this sick and twisted priest, and they have to confront him on a... Eclipse, I believe, together to break the curse, but it's typical 80s, but Matthew Broderick just totally brings something else to the table with his wit, and it's his a good
quirkiness.
Huh? It's good.
Did you already say what year this was?
Early 80s.
Early 80s?
Yeah.
There's one time where they almost see each other in the morning, and you see like a hand and then a wing, and then it turns to like a dog paw and a hand. Almost got it that time. They didn't.
Oh, man. I don't know if I'm going to have to go watch that one.
I'll let you borrow it, dude. It's worth a watch.
It's good, but it's dry.
But you're looking at it from a nostalgic point of view.
Yeah.
I don't have that.
I'm not enough.
I liked that movie when I was a kid, and I tried watching it, and I'm like, this movie's kind of boring.
But Flash Gordon, you know, I didn't grow up with either, and that turned out. But I've heard of Flash Gordon before I watched it, too.
You also had the soundtrack to keep you going, too.
That's true.
Yeah, Queen's not in this.
You lace Queen with anything, and it's going to be a hit.
Yeah.
All right. How about the movie Unbreakable?
Okay.
M. Night Shyamalan movie.
Mm-hmm.
Nice. I think that is probably one of my favorite like comic book kind of hero movies, even though it's not like a spandex hero,
Well, it's not your typical,
Not that I was a fan of his poncho or anything. It's his definitive outfit. But at the same time, damn, it was so good. It was so good. I don't know what else to say. Did you guys see Glass?
Did not. Yes.
Glass, no.
You did, Brian?
Yeah, I loved it.
It was amazing, wasn't it? I think it was quite as good as the first one, but the... Well, Split was amazing. Did you guys see Split?
Actually, Split was better. I thought Split was better than Glass. Even though Glass, it had problems. It did a good job wrapping things up. But Split really pulled me back into that universe.
Yeah, made Split me was cool. He was so good at doing all those different, 28 personalities or some shit like that.
And they're different. Like, they're not different. Even close. And they were all believable.
Yeah, exactly. Exactly. But I just loved how it all came together. There was that twist ending again, you know, in typical M. Night fashion, which I won't say if you say you have or haven't.
I've tried to watch it. I think I had low volume at night trying to watch it, and I tried trying not to wake up people at the house, and they just couldn't hear it enough, so I was just like, ah.
Yeah, I heard about the end and the kind of the blowback from that.
Yeah, it's cool. I mean, I don't see that. Well, they can't make another one. It's impossible after the last one, but I really enjoyed them. I really enjoyed them. Just the thought that maybe there are these individuals out there somewhere.
How did he not know that? That's what I don't understand, though.
What?
Bruce Willis, that he was actually he had those powers. I mean, he didn't realize until he was sitting there just kept piling weight on the bars that he could lift it. And he was like, wait a minute, I've never been sick
before. Well, no, he survived that train accident. He was the sole survivor of that horrific train accident.
Well, I know, but then later on he's training and stuff and realizing he can do all he has all these powers.
I don't know. Maybe he just never pushed himself.
Maybe.
Maybe they didn't activate till then.
No, I don't believe that shit.
I could see
because that didn't he? Wasn't there something about sick when he was a kid? Or no, he almost drowned when he was a kid. That's what his weakness is, water, is
that's
what it
right.
was.
Yeah, yeah.
That's what I'm thinking of.
And so that might have clouded his understanding, but I think he does in the first movie. He starts to slowly come to realize it before even he's working out, but maybe he just wasn't willing to accept it or something. Or
I've never broken a bone. Maybe I'm super strong.
Yeah, you and I both.
Boy, those are some famous last words. I said those exact words the day before I broke my arm.
I had an ingrown toenail, though. I think that excludes me.
That's your weakness, there. Damn toenails!
Ow!
Oh, my God. Just get a fucking mani-pedi before you go out to do anything. And your main
bad guy's
taken care of.
I could defeat anyone now.
All right. We've been around twice now. So I think those were a lot of good picks there. I enjoyed those. I have no rebuttals.
I gotta say, if you're saying Bruce Willis, you gotta, you know, Die Hard is definitely up there with one of the greatest freaking action heroes ever.
Oh yeah.
Oh, absolutely. And that crossed my mind too. But everyone just has such an erection for Die Hard anymore. Just like,
but is he a super? He's just a good cop.
It's not superhero. I mean, it can be superhero, but just hero in general. One that I had on my list that I forgot to write down was the Book of Eli, Denzel Washington.
Oh, yeah.
I love that movie.
Ooh, boy. Now, that's a good movie. Film.
Is it?
Yeah.
You said it was.
Yeah, it's damn good. You should watch that for sure. But I can't tell you half the things that are good about it without giving spoilers. So you need to just watch it. So with that being said, let's jump to a quick commercial break, and when we come back, we'll be talking more with Brian E. Lau.
Science! 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 Hello, podcast fans. Want to get weird with us? Come check out the Mad Scientist Podcast. We are a weekly show that looks at the history, philosophy, and hard facts behind your biggest paranormal questions.
Did the government really pay for a psychic spy program?
Yes!
Is it true that surgery got its start in grave robbing?
Yes!
Can a roller coaster really kill you?
Legally, we can't say so for sure, but sometimes... Yes!
Mm.
Join myself, Chris Cogswell, and my co-host, Marie Mayhew, as we examine the science, philosophy, and history behind the strange and unusual. All to discover what's possible and plausible versus what's, well, just made up. Check us out wherever you find your favorite podcasts. The Mad Scientist Podcast.
And we're back.
Hey. Almost fell asleep.
Brian, it's good to have you back on the show here with us, and a lot to talk about, man. Looks like you have a Kickstarter running right now, and we're going to get into that. But first, just how have you been, sir? It's been quite a while.
I've been great. I've been, even during quarantine, it's been quite a trying time for a lot of people, but fortunately I've been able to keep my job, work from home, focus on doing some books, and some of the effects of this whole quarantine has also been able to spend time with my family and stuff in certain ways. So,
sure.
So I've been fine, and but just busy as heck. I'll tell you, I'm constantly trying to crank the next issue out. So
that's good, though.
Yeah, those are good problems, Brian.
Yeah, I guess so. And I took a little hiatus between issues 3 and 4 of Staunch to do the Inferno City Firehouse. So, you know, it's nice to get back at Staunch and wrap up the season 1. So it was a long time coming.
That's what the Kickstarter's about, right? The issue four, the full trade?
Yes. So, you know, what we've had out before was the preview issue. And then issues 1 through 3, I did Kickstarters for. And now this is going to be issue 4, season finale, season 1 finale, double size. So this is going to be 48 pages or so for the fourth issue. And then I'm going to combine all these issues into the Epic Season 1 remastered trade. So you'll be able to get all of Season 1 in a single issue. And we're remastering the first three issues because I've learned so much, you know, over the years doing this. I've been doing this for, you know, several years now. And I'm also working with a really good editor at this point in time. So he's really, you know, putting me through the ringer with some, like, you know, 30 years of comic book experience. And I'm like, and I'm loving it. It's not, you know, it's grueling, but it's like I'm learning so much and the product is just even better. So it's going to be exciting. You know, this I'm excited. There's so many things going on with this Kickstarter, I'll tell you.
Right.
And you're bringing a little star power along with this issue too, correct?
Yeah, I was on a podcast and someone knew that I was fans of the TV show Lock and Key on Netflix. So if you call it a TV show, I don't know what you call it these days, but the streaming show.
There you go.
So they were like, knew I was fans of the, you know, you guys know the Three Geeks, or all of the geeks in the Three Geeks. But they were going to interview Halea Jones, who plays Eden Hawkins on Lock and Key. And he's like, hey, do you want to be on the show with us? And I'm like, heck yeah, I'll be on the show. And I just, you know, had some questions prepared. She plays such a bitch in the show, and she was about the nicest person you can talk to. every time I've ever dealt with her, and I've been dealing with her on this music and all that, and she's so opposite of that. She's so positive, just a testament to her talent. And it's been so exciting. And since then, she's been promoted to a regular character on season 2. They finished filming. So things are going great for her. She was in one episode of The Boys, which is another awesome, crazy comic book show. So,
yeah.
But she had mentioned on the show she does music. So I was looking to have new music. I have original music for my books. And I was looking for something epic, you know, for this next issue. And, you know, working with Halea, her style is so, what would you call it? Like spiritual or just kind of like ethereal. Is that how you pronounce it? So
sure. Yeah.
She's got this like supernatural feel to her music. So she's just she's very cinematic too. So, yeah. And she's really getting into it. Like she's a perfectionist and she's like, she's just not like cranking out a song just to get, oh, here's a song for you. Here's some melodies. She's like getting into the lyrics and everything. So this is like, this song is like winding up to be like the main song for all of the series because it's so involved into the story.
That's awesome. So
that is awesome, man. Well, congratulations. It looks like your Kickstarter's doing really well, too.
Yeah, we're at 70% right now. And, you know, they always have a slow part, and I go nuts. I'm like the most impatient person in the world, so I go nuts in the middle when it's slow.
What's that? Come on! You guys better start donating.
Yeah, you know, you get these slow days in the middle, and it's like, I just want to start going knocking on doors or something. I don't know. Hey, you guys ever heard of Kickstarter?
Hi, my name's Brian Elow. Have you heard the good word about Kickstarter?
You know how you sell like cookies? I have Girl Scout cookies here, and you can join the Kickstarter as well.
Yeah, show up dressed as a Girl Scout. That'll make someone answer their door.
Up the price, $20.
Anyway, guys. I'm always looking for that angle that's like unique. So, but no, 70% is great. One of the strategies with Kickstarter is to not go for exactly what you want because it's stressful. But there's more to it. But it's just stressful because it's all or nothing. So, sure. But the other strategy is you go for the lowest amount, and then, you know, there's this kind of like the look of what percentage you have, and then it goes, it's more popular, and you can status things when you search in Kickstarter by popularity. So my alt, that's my lowest goal is where I'm going for. But the ultimate goal is to go above it and do some, do like a cool stretch goal or a couple cool stretch goals. So,
awesome.
So we need to keep going. People need to jump on. And this is the perfect time to jump on because you can get each individual issue or the full trade. And then I'm also offering my other book, Infernal City Firehouse. And, you know, many reward tiers. They also have a new add-on. I'm going to have add-ons there. So you could customize at the end of the campaign anything you want because it's hard to figure out what people want. So I just try to put some basic reward tiers on here. I got so much stuff to offer from posters and, oh, something important too, if nobody's ever heard. I always offer a version on Kickstarter that no one else can get. It's the exclusive variant and they're numbered. And so I have an issue 4 variant cover by Derek Stevens and Jeff Von Buskirk as far as it's got a cover on the front and the back. And those are numbered and limited. So you can only get these variants and these limited Kickstarter exclusives on Kickstarter through Kickstarter. So
nice.
Awesome.
Hell yeah.
That's what I call incentive.
Yes, that's the incentive. I want to reward people too. I mean, I'm a collector. You know, you guys collect. I love... In fact, I got a cool thing that's fun. You always love to buy this book that turns out to be worth some money, right? Mm-hmm. Just because you love the story and it's cool to have it worth some money, which is it's rare. But the second book I ever worked on, I worked for Hall of Heroes. I did the airbrushing, colored the covers to two books called Vortex, number 3 and number 5 when I was in college. It turns out that number 5 issue I happened to color the cover to is the first appearance of Cyber Frog. And it's like my issues were selling for like with another characters. So two books for like 100, 200 bucks. I'm like, holy crap. Not, wow. I have copies of that book. And it's like it's not selling, you know, like that for my art. But it's because I work with great people. So I just happened to be associated with Ethan Van Schiper, who does Cyber Frog. And like that's just like hot as can be right now. So.
Wow, man, that's cool shit.
Right now, it was pretty fun to when I found out. I was going, my books are selling for like 200 bucks. How many of these copies do I have?
Definitely goes on a resume, too, right?
Yeah, exactly. That's the moral of the story is you buy my book on Kickstarter and you're going to be rich.
Pretty much.
Yeah.
There you go. And get a bunch of cool shit to boot.
Hell yeah.
You know, with your reward. Or with your pledge, excuse me.
Yeah, that's the bottom line. I just want to give quality. So the books are bonus. I mean, no, not the books. The music is pretty much just bonus. And then I'm also offering at a certain reward tier level above Tap Dance Killer. You guys are familiar with Ted. He does the Tap Dance
yes,
Killer.
Yes, he also does a
Pama.
Ted Sikora.
Yeah.
Sikora, yep. Yeah, he's amazing, and his stuff, I can see his stuff. They're going to make it into a film one day. His stuff is just so iconic. But that's just bonus. So, you know, he's offering the two issues of Tap Dance Killer, which is brilliant. And so you just get those on top of the reward you get at a certain reward tier.
Awesome.
That's awesome, man. And again, great incentive, and people have until June 2nd to get on there and back this project. Man, just congratulations again to you on all your freaking success with this. It never ceases to amaze me. You know, there's some people that, like ourselves, seem to ride a plateau, and we have our peaks and then we have our dips. But, you know, there's some people we've talked to in the beginning that just, you know, seem to kind of peter out. But mm-hmm. It seems like every time we get in contact with you, there's bigger, better, more exciting shit going on. You really keep that ball rolling for yourself. So, just congratulations. I'm very envious of your motivation, man.
Thanks. I'm glad that it's nice. Yeah, things are connecting and we'll see where it goes. I'm satisfied to just create quality product, whether it turns into, you know, huge profit or whatnot. I mean, obviously that would be nice, but I'm definitely not there yet. The overhead is insane, but I've got, you know, stuff with like connections with, you know, the firefighter documentary coming out soon.
Oh,
so
yeah,
I'm
I was
waiting.
Gonna ask you about that.
Yeah, with Infernal City Firehouse, a director contacted me that's doing a document. He was filming a documentary about firefighters dealing with PTSD or depression or that. And it's called Florian's Knights, which is named after this motorcycle charter or group that are either retired or active firefighters, and they ride motorcycles to, they call it wind therapy, deal with their, you know, difficulties. And obviously they're just in the motorcycles. So it mainly follows them. But when he saw my book in a news article, he came to Michigan to film me in the book, and I hooked him up with the same fire departments that I was riding along with. And so they went and did ride-alongs with the whole Detroit Fire Department and whatnot. So they're going to be in the film. My footage is going to be a standalone, its own standalone short film. So, but right now, I haven't even seen the trailer yet. Right now, they're pitching it to streaming services, and they're, you know, I'm waiting to find out what's going to happen here to figure out how they're going to market it and how we're going to cross market and whatnot. So,
all right.
Well, and I actually was hired, he hired me to do the official poster, and it turned out, I think, turned out gorgeous. They loved it. Everybody who's seen it's loved it. So,
did you put that on social media?
That's the thing. Like, to the degree that I've just mentioned it, but I'm not marketing it because he's not marketing it yet until they figure out who they go with and what the game plan is.
I only ask because I feel like I've seen it. Maybe you actually like showed it to us like last time.
Oh, the poster? I might have shared the poster with you guys just in some kind of a chat or whatnot.
I think that's what it was.
Yeah.
Okay. And amazing. Yeah, fucking amazing artwork, too.
Yeah, I actually worked with J.A. DeFoy and my new colorist, Bunny, who we worked on it together. And J.A. DeFoy is a master, and it just turned out really good. Pan's idea, you know, we took Pan's idea. I added a lot to it, and then Jay just nailed it. So we'll be definitely posting that when I can find out what the heck's going on. And
right.
We'll see.
Awesome.
That's crazy. TV stars making scores for your books, directors making documentaries for your books.
Yeah, I think that's reason to shine your nails on your collar there, Brian. Like,
look at what I've done.
Just watch out for the toenails.
None of this honestly compares to being knowing you guys and being along with this whole journey with you guys. Because you guys, I literally enjoy your show. Like, because I was a big podcast guy before, and the kind of shows I loved was a show like this, man, where you talked about stuff I'm into, and you got this kind of like wit and humor to it as well. So,
well, thank you, man, appreciate that.
Randy tries.
Randy's been great.
Oh, Jack,
Randy's just here for us to punch in the balls occasionally. Yeah, yeah. Right. Oh, man. Well, Brian, it's always a pleasure to have you on, and we need to get together again soon.
Yeah.
I miss hanging out. That was probably one of the biggest things I missed from the past, from the year
off. For the no cons, yeah.
You know what I mean?
Yeah.
Like,
yeah.
And to be honest, the last con we went to, the best part was hanging out with these dudes.
That was
afterward.
The only good part of it.
The cons sucked nuts. Yeah. And Henry Winkler was like a fucking asshole, too. Yeah. So, you know, we need a little bit of Brian in Columbus here.
Yep.
Yeah, well, I'm looking forward to Torg, man. That's going to be the next one, I think.
Yeah.
Yep. Mm-hmm.
I keep forgetting about Torg.
You better not. We got shit to do, bro.
I'll just show up in pajama pants like, oh, yeah. I'll get it done, though. I'll perform.
I have no doubts.
Oh, my God. What did I get myself into? All right. Well, Jack, what do we have on the website?
Go to www.pod.
No.
Wow.
It's because of what I've got going on for this.
You don't even need a www. Oh, you're looking at your shirt, you mean?
No. Go to cannedairpodcast.com where we got all kind of cans. What kind of cans? You can listen to the episode, can buy some merch, can be a patron, and you can get a hold of us on our contacts page.
Can listen to some better content than what's going on right now.
It was going on so good, and I flarted on the beginning
cans.
Of it.
I like your ambition.
Yeah.
I like your ambition.
Ooh, yeah, there you go.
You got Brian excited. Just
tied it right into that.
I was going to go with keep kicking that a lot can. Of do's, but no don'ts.
I got to say, I really admire your staunch ambition.
Oh!
See what I did, Brian? Woo!
There you go, man. It ties into all of life. At the core of life is staunch ambition.
I brought that shit full. I think you did. I think that's what you were playing for originally.
It was
right?
Something that started with an S. I don't know what it was, but.
And don't forget to find us on Twitter at CanDairPod and on Instagram at Canned_Air. And if you like what we're doing, like Jack has already said, you can become a patron. on our website, candarepodcast.com. Hit that Patreon button, and $5 a month gets you access to all those fucking goodies that the normies aren't getting, people. What else we got?
You can go to evergreenpodcast.com. I think I said that right. And check
do
out.
Listen to podcasts.
Yes.
Oh, I thought you stopped mid-sentence. Were you done?
No, I was done.
Oh, okay.
You can continue, Jeremy.
Thank you, Randy. I have to go listen to that audio. It sounded like you just stopped mid-sentence. I don't know.
Yeah, I know. I want to revisit that.
Put a record scratch in there.
No, I'm sure it was just my mind darting around, not paying attention. But all right. Well, I think that's going to do it for this episode. So until next time, I'm Jeremy Colley.
I'm Jack Doherty.
I'm Randy Hardenbrook.
I'm Brian Lau.
Thank you so much for listening, and be excellent to each other.
Be excellent to each other.
Puppy. Oh no!
Don't run, it'll only make things worse!
Mutt!
Remember, you never want to approach a stray dog, especially one that's foaming at the mouth. Get away from the animal as quickly as you can and tell a grown-up. And knowing is half the battle. G.I.
Joe! This has been a Canned Air production.
What was it like to be there for historical sports moments and unforgettable performances? To be behind the scenes? On Press Box Access, you'll hear from me, Todd Jones, and other sports writers about their experiences with the greatest athletes, coaches, and sports events of the past half century. We'll share some stories behind the stories, some big, some small, and some we've only told each other. Let us buy you a round on Press Box Access.